Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise the Lord. Why don't we open our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue in our teaching on holiness. And everybody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. How many people enjoyed it last time? That's good. That's very good. How many people felt cleaner? You know, the word will make you clean. It'll clean you up. Just hearing about holiness will have a cleansing effect on your life when you respond to it positively, which most of you have. Respond to it positively. When you sit there and receive that word, you recognize this is the word of God, you believe it, you embrace it, it begins to go to work on your behalf. And one of the things it begins to do is begins to make you more holy. When you preach on holiness, you get more holy. You get more holy because he is holy. And as we get to see him more clearly, more fully as he really is, then we're transformed into the same image. And as we see him, we believe him. And he's able to manifest more fully in our life and wash us clean and make us more like him, more holy, which is what we saw over here in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 15. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Everybody say all your conduct. In other words, everything you do, everything you say, everything you do, in all your conduct, you also be holy. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Or be holy, because I am holy. God is holy. Therefore, we're to be holy. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. How many people know we're just spending the night? We're just spending some time here, but this isn't what it's all about. This world in its current state is not what it's all about. We're just passing through here. And so as we're going through here, he tells us to conduct ourselves throughout our time here in fear, walking in the fear of God, honoring, reverencing, respecting God, for he is holy, he is awesome, he is set apart, he is not common, he is not cheap. He is precious. He is valuable. And we need to treat him that way. You know, I think of like in a dining room. You know, we have a china cabinet. And you got your fine china in there and your crystal glasses and all that kind of stuff. And it's in this nice glass cabinet. And you only take it out on very, 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 very special occasions. And so you just don't go running through there. You know, you don't just go running through there. Because what's in there is valuable. What's in there is precious. What's in there is set apart from all the other dishes, silverware and all that, glasses, that are what we view as common. You got things that are everyday things. And then you got things that are very special. They're more valuable to you. They're more precious to you. We treat him with greater honor, with greater respect. Well, God is holy. And one of the meanings of holy is set apart. He's set apart. He's set apart from everything else. He's in a class all by himself. But what's nice is he didn't stay all by himself. He's opened the way for us to be able to come into his holy presence, into the holiest of all, into the most sanctified, set apart place there ever has been or ever will be. And that's in him, in his presence. He has made the way for us to come in. And it was a very expensive way. Jesus is the way. His blood being shed for you and I so that we can be made holy, that we can be made clean, and that we can draw near to him. Desiring to live a holy life, a life that is set apart from what is considered common, what is everyday. God is not everyday. God is not common. God is holy. God is holy. And think about that. You and I can come and dwell in his presence. But to do that, you have to live holy. Your conduct is important. Jesus washed us in his blood and he made the way for us. Now we have to go that way, walking holy, being holy, even as he is holy. We got to conduct ourselves in the fear of the Lord. We need to get into his presence and walk with him. Why? Because he is life. And in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Like I always say, a truly happy life is a holy life. A truly happy life is a holy life. If you want to really live abundant, fulfilling, overflowing life, then you need to learn holiness. You need to learn of God. You need to get close to him. You need to walk with him. You need to walk even as he walked. Somebody say, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. Even as he's holy. Well, he's doing it. He's doing the work in us. Through his Holy Spirit. We could never be holy apart from the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is in us to help us walk and live, conduct ourselves holy in this world. So holy means consecrated, set apart. It also means sacred, pure. Pure, morally blameless, untainted. Unpolluted, clean, clean. Now, clean is a big deal in this world because this world is filthy. This world, spiritually, morally, is polluted, defiled. This is a very, very extremely dirty place. But because we've been raised in it, we've been born in it, we live in it every day, we walk among some of those vile, dirtiest, perverted people all the time. We're around some of the lowest lives, people that live so low. They live such debased lives that you can just go through this life and not think it's really all that bad. Well, I know it's bad, but it's not really that bad, you know. And we need a revelation of how dirty, how filthy this world is. It is so contrary to God. It is so contrary to God that Jesus said, you need to hate your life in this world. You need to hate it. You need to detest it. Because life in this world is filthy dirty. It's polluted. It's a very, very vile place. But yet you and I can be holy. In the midst of this very dirty, vile place, you and I can be pure. You and I can be clean. You and I can be separate. Separate from all the sin. Separate from all the sinfulness. Separate from all the uncleanness. Separate from all these dirty things. We can live a life in this world set apart from the filth of this world by living our life in Christ Jesus. Living life in him. It's like being inside a big bubble. And we just go through this life inside this big bubble. And these things don't touch us. And we have no interest in touching them. we have no interest in gazing upon these things and being a part of all these dirty things. No interest. No, somebody say no interest. No interest at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Brief review of a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We can come out without leaving this world. We can live set apart from this world. Set apart from all the unclean things. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We will be his sons and daughters through, of course, faith in Jesus Christ, and by coming out from among that which is sinful and unclean. And as we said last time, coming to God is coming away from what is ungodly, unholy, or unclean. It's coming away from all those spiritually dirty things in this world. If you're really coming to Him, you're leaving all of that. You're coming away from all that. And that's Christianity. You can't love your life in this world, hang on to the things of this world that are dirty and filthy, and then claim, oh, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. You know, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. Yeah, God's my Father. I'm His child. Well, He says, no, you got to be a person that is willing to let go of those things. And, you know, it is a process of getting our minds renewed. I mean, when I was newly saved, you know, it was a process. You started seeing things that were dirty and unclean and contrary to God. That you know, I mean, you were raised in this. I mean, it was the most normal stuff to you in the world. You didn't think twice about it. There's folks that live in stuff that's so vile and contrary to God, but they don't even think twice about it. They don't think God has a problem with it. They don't think about God very much. But then, all of a sudden, God started opening my eyes. Remember that first few months of being saved, you know, in that first year, oh my goodness, you know. Next thing you know, it's like, Jesus. You start realizing, He's just starts opening your eyes, starts renewing your mind, and you start feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Also, the Spirit of God is grieved. You feel this, you feel like you got this grieving on the inside of you that you never had before concerning these things. And you realize, I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I've grieved God. I've broken His commandments. And immediately you repent and you turn away from that. You don't want to go through that again. You don't want to walk in that anymore. And just by the time you learn to live life free of that, not walk in that anymore, you get grieved about something else. And you realize, oh, that's dirty too. Oh, that's ungodly too. Oh, that's wrong too. And we start growing in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, to what grieves Him. And we should be grieved with what grieves Him. I want to be grieved with what grieves the Holy Spirit. It's a big part of being led by Him, being led by God, being led by the Creator of all creation. I want to be led by Him. So we've got to be grieved with what grieves Him. So that's even a prayer to pray. Say, Lord, grieve me with what grieves You. Oh, I don't want to pray that. That might make me feel bad. Well, it's better than living bad. Because if you live bad, then things are going to end up bad for you in the end. Because he who sows to the flesh is going to reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit is going to reap everlasting, overflowing, abundant life. See? So I'd rather, feel bad about something so I can change my mentality about that something, change my lifestyle concerning that something so that I don't live bad and experience a bad harvest in my future. So, Lord, let me be grieved with what grieves You. Let me be sensitive to You. Keep me from touching what is unclean. How do you do that? You got to put gloves on. I mean, right? You got to put gloves on. You got to make sure that when you do things, you do it in God. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ before you go out there and start going into stuff. I mean, I understand you got to get out there and you got to work among them. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Keep yourself in the blood of Jesus. Keep yourself in the protection of the Holy Spirit. Be led by Him as you're touching and waving and having contact with unclean things, unclean people. Keep yourself covered in the midst of all the dirtiness. We're not talking about going and hiding somewhere, secluded away from people. We're talking about facing people in God, in Him. So that it's not really you doing the touching, but it's Christ touching through you. God touching through you. God living His life through you. They're actually contacting Him when they contact you. They're experiencing Him when they're experiencing you. Right? Because we're holiness minded. We're Holy Spirit minded. We're led by the Spirit of God. We keep ourselves conscious of Him. We keep ourselves in Him. And so as a result of that, we're covered, we're clothed, and none of this stuff can touch us. But it's when we take the gloves off and we start feeling it. We start touching, making contact with the things of this world, and we start absorbing into our flesh the things that we're touching in the world, and these things are getting into our soul. They're getting into our heart, and they're corrupting us, because they will corrupt you. The dirty, corruptible things of this world will corrupt you. So you have to protect, you have to recognize that. You have to, again, goes back to, you have to realize what a dirty place this is and how holy God is, and how He who called you is holy. You also need to be holy, that you walk very respectfully of God and in fear of, I don't want to be contaminated. I don't want to touch these things. And that keeps you close to Him. That keeps you abiding in Him. The Bible says over in 1 John 5:18 that when we keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. The wicked one does not touch those who do not touch wickedness. That's good right there. Devil, you ain't got nothing in me, is what Jesus said. He said, the rule of this world's coming, and He's got nothing in me. Nothing. Because Jesus isn't out touching the things of the world in the flesh. He was touching people in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And what was happening? People were getting healed. People were getting delivered. But as long as he was in the Spirit, as long as he was flowing in the Holy Spirit, man, he could put his hand right on a leper. And it wouldn't contaminate him. It wouldn't spread to him, but he'd spread healing into them. Because healing is contagious. The life of God is contagious. Let that get off on somebody. We believe that the devil stuff can get off on people. We believe some kind of demon-possessed germ can get on somebody from somebody else. How about some Holy Spirit anointed part of you getting off on somebody? And healing them, delivering them, setting them free. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12 says, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Everybody say shameful. It's full of shame, full of shame. So things that are full of shame, we don't want to even talk about those things. So you got to watch about repeating things to others. We don't want to touch it, and we don't want to talk about it. Because it's shameful. It's shameful for saints. We're above that. We're too far above that. You're too set up. You're too precious. You got to realize how precious you are. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. You've been placed in God's china cabinet. You are so precious. You are on display for the whole creation to see. I mean, you are an amazing people. You're so far above the filthy, dirty, shameful things of this world. So that's why you want to keep yourself far from those things, far from contact with those things. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to talk about it. And we don't want to even associate with it. Don't even want to associate with it. Romans 1, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. Boy, does that describe today's society? Oh, yeah. Big time. They don't even know what restroom to go into these days. Confused people. Filled with sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Their mind is on evil all the time. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud. Now we can go over to, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 2 or 3. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it describes these same kind of people, but instead it says they have a form of godliness. I find that interesting. Haters of God, and yet they have a form of godliness. See, that's religion. See, they have some religiosity in their life to make them appear a certain way, to make them feel a little bit better about themselves. But yet, their lifestyle shows that they are haters of God. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy. And it's so sad to see how undiscerning our society is today. I mean, I marvel. I mean, because there's so many things that are so blatant, so right in your face, and you know this is corrupt. This is evil. This is wrong. And yet a good majority of our nation, of our society today, will look right at it and go, I don't see anything wrong with it. And then they'll look over at that which has a righteous cause to it. Might not be perfect in holiness, but it has a righteous cause. And they'll look right at it and say, I don't like that. I think that's wrong. Now, the Bible talks about a people that call evil good and good evil. And it's a marvel. It's an absolute marvel. The Bible calls it a mystery. And it is. It's the mystery of lawlessness. It's over there in the book of Thessalonians. The mystery of lawlessness. You look at this lawlessness and it's a mystery. You think, what are you doing? Why are you destroying yourself? Why would you make decisions like this? Why would you want to go that? Don't you know that's not a good direction? Can't you see that? Why are we making this so hard? But that's what sin does. It's a mystery. When you're in the light, when you're walking in the truth, sin and lawlessness is an absolute mystery. It's puzzling. It's puzzling. You look at it, you just can't figure it out. People make life so hard on themselves. I mean, God's got such this beautiful, abundant life prepared for us. And the only reason we're not walking in the fullness of it is because we've just made it more difficult. We've made it hard on ourselves. Because with him, it's easy. He's done all the heavy lifting. Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. And if we'll just follow him and we'll just stay on course with him, man, we'll end up in the fullness of all the good things that he's prepared for us. But yet, people are so undiscerning. They don't recognize right from wrong. They don't make right decisions. They're not mindful of the right things. And so off they go. They go astray and they have to go the hard way. And unfortunately, God's perfect will isn't able to be experienced in their lives yet, because folks are making it hard. I don't want to be undiscerning, do you? I don't want to be undiscerning. I want to be very sensitive. I want to be very discerning. I want to walk in the light. I love light. I don't want to roam around in the darkness, because if you roam around in the darkness, your mind becomes darkened, your heart becomes darkened, and you can't see very far. And I've had people around me having conversations, and I'm just looking like, and they're having this big debate over something. I'm like, is this really a debate to you? Seriously? Like, you're not sure about this? And these, they look like intelligent people. Average, everyday, dumb people. Average, everyday people living in the dark. If you live in the dark, you're dumb. The more you're in the dark, the more dumber you are. So, man, get out of the dark. Get out of the dark. Run from the darkness. Run to the light. Run to the light. They're undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. In other words, in God's eyes, they're worthy of capital punishment. They're worthy of the death penalty. Not be imprisoned, but executed. They're worthy of death. That's what the Bible says. Let's back verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment, they know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They give their approval. Like we talked about last time, you know, people liking things on social media. They have no business, I'm talking about Christians, having no business putting their approval on certain things. Things that are contrary to God. And yet, like. They just throw a like out there. No fear of God. No considering what you're doing. You know, we need to stop. The fear of the Lord stops and it considers what it's doing. Should I be doing this? Should I be associating with this? Should I be approving of this? The CSB translation says, although they know God's just sentence, that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. Sounds like a performance. They applaud. Great performance. They applaud others who practice them. When you applaud others who practice these things that are worthy of the death penalty, you have made yourself guilty of the same thing. Now, this is so important to understand. You have to come out from among them. You have to be separate from them. You can't applaud them and be a participant in what they're doing. You can't put your approval on what they're doing. You have to reject uncleanness. You have to reject ungodliness from your very heart, not just your actions. You have to reject it with your heart and say, I am set apart from this evil. I am set. This is evil. This is not entertainment for me. This is evil. I am set apart from this. I identify with the Bible. That's entertaining. I know I'm boring to you, but man, to me, I'm having a great time. This is where it's at. In Him is where it's at. This is what I applaud. We need to applaud God. We need to applaud the Word. Lift our hands and praise Him. Not be applauding things that are totally contrary to Him. Because if we're applauding the things that are contrary to Him, then we're approving of it. We're signing up for it. We're touching it. We're touching it, and thus touching the wicked one, because all those kind of things are inspired of the devil. So if you touch things that are inspired of the devil, then you associate yourself with the devil. And now you get devil. You get devil in your life. And it gives him the right to touch you. Now that should scare you. That's the fear of the Lord. That should scare you. So, well, I'm not gonna let the devil touch me. The WEB translation says, they not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. They take pleasure in them, that do these things that are dirty, these things that are wrong. In other words, it's enjoyment to them. They enjoy those who do these kind of things. They enjoy it. We could say it this way. Not only do they do the same, but are entertained by them who practice or perform things that are deserving of death. They're entertained by it. They support those who act out such things. They support at the box office those that practice such things. See, we have to understand how dirty the world is. And the things that the world calls fun and entertaining, we have to stop and consider. Should that be fun and entertaining to us? Or are we to be set apart from that? Or are we to be separate from that? And it's sad because so many Christians think they're losing something by letting go of the entertainment of this world. I'm talking about the dirty entertainment. I'm talking about the things that are contrary to God in the entertainment industry. And they think, oh, I'm really going to give up something. No, you're going to lay hold of something. You're going to lay hold of something that's a whole lot higher, a whole lot greater, a whole lot better, that really words can't even describe. It goes beyond words. But you know it in your soul. You're experiencing it on the inside. And it's working its way to the outside. And what's going on in the inside of you is so important. I said it's so important. And we got to make sure that what we're allowing influence us on the outside is having a positive effect on the inside. Because there's a lot of people whose insides are all messed up today. I mean, our insides are messed up. They are dysfunctional. They are dysfunctional in life. They don't even know how to be a good person. They don't know how to maintain a good relationship. They don't know how to handle conflict. They don't know how to handle it except to scream, explode, and be violent. And carry on. I'll just marry somebody else. You're immoral. You're perverted. That's your response to things because that's what you fill yourself with. People have perverted responses to things, and they do evil things. They respond in really a wicked way that many think is normal simply because they didn't protect their insides. They didn't guard what was going in them. They've been polluted. You got to watch what's going in you. And we're so surrounded by it. We're so bombarded, and especially in this digital era that we're living in right now. I mean, the media rules. They rule. So whatever's behind the media is ruling a whole lot of people's lives. Don't let it rule your life. Because if it rules your life, it will ruin your life. Simple as that. It will ruin your life. It might be slow, but it'll ruin your life. It'll be a slow death, but you're worthy of death. If you associate and applaud things that are worthy of death in the sight of God, it's a slow poison. Some experience it quicker, but some it's just a slow death. I don't want to experience a slow death. I want to experience increased life. Increased peace, increased joy. Don't you? God's got so much better for us. So we have to have a vision for what we could have in Him and also recognize that what is around us falls so short of it. So short of it. It's actually degrading. Don't degrade yourself. Don't let the devil get you to degrade yourself. God has set your grade up here at the level of Himself. He has set you up here as the righteousness of God. He has placed you in the china cabinet of Christ. He's put you up here set apart from the mess. He's got this life for you that's overflowing. He has got mansions prepared for you in heaven. Don't let Him down. Fulfill the call. He who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Fulfill your call. And friend, you got mansions. You got all kinds of pleasure awaiting you. You just don't want to miss it. For what? For what the world's going to give you? It's going to degrade you, bring you down, and rob you. And though you might make it to heaven, you'll be one of the foolish virgins that come in, having lived your life in the dark, having lived your life in the dark, on empty, ashamed, and you miss out on so much. Don't be a disappointment to yourself. Don't be a disappointment to your family. Don't be a disappointment to your church. Don't be a disappointment to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just determine in your heart, I'm not going to be a disappointment to God. I'm going to live a holy life. I'm not going to be a devil. Not going to be an unclean person. Not going to be immorally impure. Not going to do it. I hate it. I hate it. Tell yourself that you hate it. Not just now, but always. Tell yourself, I hate it. I hate dirty things. I hate unclean things. I hate it. I hate it. I want to go right in the middle of it, and I want to get as many people clean as I can. Put my gloves on and get in there. Get in there and get to work. Getting people clean, getting them holy. Washing them with the word. Dirty. Because if we can identify the dirt, then we can get it off. But see, we live in a society, things are so normal to us, we don't even realize it's dirty. It's like, I don't see anything wrong with it. People are swimming in a swamp, and they think it's a beautiful swimming pool. Because they've been living like a frog. Been living like a frog. And the book of Revelation says that John, he saw three frogs. And they were unclean spirits. Unclean demons are like likened to frogs. And they like swamps. Do you like swamps? No, it's time to drain it. Turn to somebody and say, drain the swamp. Praise God. Get the frogs out. The only good thing about a frog is it eats the flies. That's the only good thing about a frog. We're not going to support these things. We're not going to approve these things. We're set apart from these things. We don't want to be a part of these things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So there's a way to walk. And thank God we got the Bible as a pattern. We got holy men of God as a pattern to follow. They're an example for us to follow. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, and he's talking about Christians. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. He's talking about Christians. Notice what he said. He says, of whom I have told you often. I've talked about these people to you often. And now tell you, even weeping. Now I tell you about them, but I'm weeping. In other words, these were really good people. These were folks that were in the kingdom. But now they're out. Why? Because they have set their mind on earthly things. They've ceased walking with the Lord. Now they're embracing the things of the world. And it says, they glory in their shame. They glory in their shame. What is shame? Something disgraceful. Something dishonorable. And they glory in it. What do you mean? Well, you look up that word glory, it means exalt. Exalt can also mean applaud. They applaud things that are shameful, that are disgraceful. They honor it. They exult in it. In other words, get excited about it. They get excited about shameful things, disgraceful things. This is so much of our world today. You look and you see, and again, I'm going to go back to the entertainment industry. So many folks, they glory in their shame. Things they, I mean, I've heard some music. Now, when I was in the dark, I didn't even think twice about it. It had a good beat to it. You sung along with it. You didn't know what in the world you were doing. You come out of that mess. Then you look at it, and you go, I heard some people singing. I thought, where is your mother? I mean, do your parents know that you sing those songs? Does your parents know that you do those videos? Do your parents know that you do that? What you do? I mean, what are your parents like? Are they embarrassed? I mean, it's shameful. You should be ashamed of yourself. Your whole family should disown you. You're a shameful person. And yet, no, not in this world. You get exalted. You get applauded for acting disgusting, disgraceful, doing things that are absolutely shameful. You get applauded for it. You're exalted. Why? Because those behind the entertainment industry want to say this is exaltable material. This is something to look up to. This is something to praise. This is something to applaud. And because the world is undiscerning and mesmerized, they believe it. And so they look up to some of the most degrading, disgusting, low-life things, shameful things that I think themselves would be embarrassed to say to somebody. I mean, they'll sing it in a song, but will they walk up to somebody and actually say some of those lyrics to somebody else, like in a serious conversation? I don't think so. Because they'd be ashamed. They'd be ashamed. It's embarrassing. The world should be embarrassed. And you need to recognize that. And it's hard sometimes to recognize it because, again, we're just in it. And so many folks have just been brought up in it. But you need to realize, it's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed to identify with that dirty thing. I'd be embarrassed to identify with that woman that sings those songs. I'd be embarrassed to identify with that man. I wouldn't be lip singing to his stuff. I'd be ashamed of myself. I wouldn't want anybody to know about that. Now, as a Christian, that's true. There's a lot of things that, you know, I would have sang in the world that I'd be ashamed of. Anybody catch me singing that now? I'd be embarrassed. But I just don't do it because I don't want to. It's disgraceful. I said it's disgraceful. Verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think only about this life on earth. That's what their minds are on. They just think about the things of this world. We shouldn't glory or enjoy things that are shameful. Things that are quite obviously inspired by demons. Demons inspire these things. People are yielding to demons. They're being taught to do what they do by demons. Some of them admit to it behind the scenes. And some of them talk blatantly about it, and people just think it's all part of the entertainment. But they're serious. Whether they know it or not, we know it from the Word. That kind of behavior, that kind of conduct, and then to be able to not only to do it in secret, not only to act like a perverted person in secret, but when you can come out of a closet, when you can come out in front of cameras, when you come, you are demon possessed. Because you have crossed so many lines, your conscience has been so violated that you're just wide open. You got all kinds of demons operating in you. Now, thank God demons can be casted out. We don't see too much of that today. But read your Bible. Because if Jesus was casting them out left and right in his day, and there was no internet, and there was no MTV, if he was casting them out left and right, and he was sometimes all night casting demons out, how much more do you think people need demons cast out of them today? We live in a society full of people, full of demons. But it's normal. It's what they are partners with. It's what they're used to associating with. It's what they're used to yielding to. But we've come out of that. And we're learning to get further out of that and step further back from that and get further away from that and clear ourselves from anything having to do with that as our eyes are opening and getting wider and wider and wider, and we're seeing how dirty, how demonic this fallen, corrupt world is. It's a corrupt world, but our eyes are becoming open. And when your eyes become open, don't just blink. Back off. Back away. Look at it and go, I see that, Pastor. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thanks for utterance tonight, Lord.
I honestly didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was just country music. I just wanted to rock. But no, you're yielding to demons. Notice here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit, man, we were just talking about people, they were a part of the church. Paul's weeping when he thinks of them now, talks about them. Because their God is their belly. They've set their minds on earthly things. They glory in things that are shameful. It's turned them completely away from God. They might not even know it. They might think Paul's crazy. That Paul the Apostle, he's a fanatic. He's legalistic. That's his problem. They might even have their own church. But they're enemies of the cross. Now, he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Let me read this to you from the NIV, New International Version. Verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, you could just read that as, oh, he's talking about Bible teaching. He's not limiting it to Bible teaching. It's just anything that the devil's teaching, folks. Any teaching that's demonic. Any teaching of a lifestyle that is demonic. It doesn't just have to be Bible verses. We shouldn't be learning how to behave in life from demons. Because the word doctrines there, when you look it up, it also means learning. So we shouldn't be learning how to conduct ourselves from demons. Demons shouldn't be teaching us. And a hot movie, ooh, the hottest movie. We got a hot movie this summer. It's a hot movie. That hot movie and that hot movie star might be the hot iron that Satan is using to sear people's conscience. To sear their conscience so that they become more and more dull to God. They become calloused. But remember, life is hard for the hard-hearted. You are setting yourself up for so many extra trials and tests and so much more trouble than you really need to have to experience in life. Well, God's teaching me. It's a shame you have to be taught with a sledgehammer. Let's go the easy way. Let's not sear our hearts so our hearts are hard and life becomes hard for us. Right? It's a hot scene in the movie. I just keep hitting rewind. And my conscience keeps going, tss. I don't feel God anymore. I don't respond to him anymore. I don't respond to the word anymore. That's a dangerous place to live. It scares me. That scares me as much as if somebody was going to go blind and have to go through life not being able to see anything. I wouldn't want that. That's exactly how it is if your heart's seared. See, this will scare you right out of the devil's den. Did you hear me? This will scare the HBO right out of you. You will run from these things when you understand you're not above it like you think you are. Somehow people think they're above it. Not going to affect me. This word is reality, and it affects everybody evenly, equally across the board. I don't care who you are, from the pulpit to the sound booth to wherever, to the parking lot, to the parkway. It affects everybody the same. You ain't escaping it. You're either getting duller and duller and duller, or you're getting sharper, sharper, and sharper. Either you're setting yourself up for blessing, or you're setting yourself up for cursing. I want to set myself up for the blessing. You got to understand, there's demons behind these things. You go in there, and you got to realize that there's demons. These people are demons. We think of demon possessed. We think of somebody going, you know, they're just foaming and they're out of control. And no. Now that's when the demon, you know, the demon could manifest like that. But before the person manifested like that, they were still demon possessed. Right? I mean, there were people, nothing really happened until Jesus said, come out. And then all this stuff started happening. Then it got really dramatic. But they were possessed. So this is some of the most beautifulest people. They're so attractive. They're so smart. They're so creative. They're so flamboyant. They're so charismatic. They're so this. They're so that. Everybody just loves them, and they're possessed. In other words, they're full of demons. They're full of demons. And you're partaking of it. You're listening to it. You're watching it. You're enjoying it. You're applauding. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying people that would yield to that. They're applauding that, yielding to that, and what's happening? It's getting in them. They're being seared. They're being seared. They're being taken over by the spirit of this world. Thank God revival's coming. I said, thank God revival's coming. And I got news for you. Wherever there's true revival, there is true holiness. You've got people on fire for God, and they love holiness, and they're getting squeaky clean. Oh, God's cleaning them up. Why are revivals so exciting? Why are they so exhilarating? Why are they so fun? Why does everyone want revival? What makes it that way? People are clean. People don't have baggage. People have had stuff burned off of them. People have been purged. All the putrid things are off. The shame is gone. The perverted things are gone. The darkness is gone. They're seeing God clearly. He's alive. He's real. He's all around them. Man, they're full of praise. They're full of excitement. They're feeling good. They're feeling good. And yet every week that evangelist keeps getting up there and going, he's holy, and you need to get holy. Get down to this altar. And they're running to the altar. You'd think, my Lord, what's so exciting about that? Because you get to get clean. Something's coming off. You're running to the altar, and something's coming off of you. You're being set free. You're being loosed and liberated from things that are restricting and restraining you, holding you back. Now you're coming into the light. Oh, it's exciting. I like that God's got me preaching on holiness. He had me preaching on revival. If you noticed that on Sunday. Sunday revival, Wednesday holiness. I see what's happening, Lord. I like this. I like this. We need to restore holiness to the body of Christ. I said holiness needs to be restored to the body of Christ. Glory to God. You got a few more minutes? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So watch out for the devil's hot irons. He likes to advertise hot. People like hot things. Watch yourself. Make sure it's the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's the hot we like. 1 Timothy chapter 4, now in verse 6. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, that pastor is a good minister. Right. How do you know that? Because he instructs them in these things. nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. Notice that, old wives' fable. What's a fable? A fable is a fictional story or narrative. That's what a fable is, a fictional story. He's talking here about profane fictional stories. Is there any fictional profane stories that people have to watch out for these days? Absolutely. He's telling us here, have nothing to do with profane. That's ungodly, unholy, fictional stories, or we could say shows. Can we say that? You think it's all right to say that? You think I'm damaging the scriptures? How many people think it's right to say that we should have nothing to do with profane, that's ungodly, unholy, fictional stories? All right. The NIV says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. The ESV translation says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. How many people are going to do it? You got to train yourself. Notice, train yourself. Train yourself. Now, the equipment's been given to you, and you've got trainers in the gym with you tonight. There's people that have been trained by God to help train you. You got help. But are you going to train? How people are going to train for godliness? Train for holiness. Stay away from profane, unholy, fictional stories. How people are going to run from those things? Despise those things. Detest those things. Don't let those things keep you from the life that God has for you. Don't let those things cut even your life in this world short. Don't let it happen. Set yourself apart. Be holy. Even as the one who calls you to himself is holy. Be holy in all your conduct. Let God set you apart. Let him show you off. Let him do things to you that make you a sign and wonder to the world. God wants to do it. He wants to impress the world with you. He wants to impress the world with us. I believe that. We just got to let him do it. I said, we just got to let him do it. You got to let him keep purging us. Allow us to be grieved what grieves him. Teach us to walk holy even as he's holy. And watch what happens as we go from holy to holy, glory to glory, and are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm getting ready for a revival. I want to be revival ready. Woo, hallelujah. Use us, Lord. Send me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.